Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And good morning, folks. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county. As national championship games go, that one was pretty good. I enjoyed that national. It was one of the best national championship games I've seen. Of course, the best being 1997, but hey, I guess if you want to call that a national championship game, right? Michigan playing in the Rose Bowl, my best national championship experience. But short of that, you have to live vicariously through the teams that play your arch rival. It's been our existence here for a little while now. So watching Alabama utterly dismantle the Ohio State Buckeyes was a pretty enjoyable experience last night. Good morning, Mr. Weintraub.
Good morning, Sam. It was a pleasurable experience. I think everybody pretty much outside of Columbus enjoyed that game, and maybe outside of like Auburn, Alabama, right? The other side of the rivalry thing. But it was really fun to watch. Real quick, before we dive deep into sports, I thought of you yesterday afternoon. Actually, it wasn't even you yesterday afternoon. I thought of your son because a friend of mine from high school posted on Facebook a picture. I just wanted to share it with you before we move on. It was a picture from September 13th, 1953, of Charlie Parker, Thelonious Monk, Charles Mingus, and Roy Haynes, four jazz legends, and I immediately started thinking about Noah Langston Webb. Good morning, Sam.
Yeah, man, it is. It's funny. I'll shoot the next time because we still aren't through Bosch. Once we got through the holiday break, we just haven't had a chance to, you know, do more than watch like an episode at a time. But when the theme music comes on, when it gets ready to come on, I'm going to shoot some video. Because he looks around, wants to make sure everyone is watching him and say, hey, do you hear that? And he breaks into his little bob because it is his thing. It is his thing. Crazy that you kids start developing things they like, like music at that young an age. But here he is, my one and a half, and he is finding a love of jazz music. But anyway, the performance last night put on by Alabama was an all-timer when you look at Devontae Smith. In the first half, over 200 yards, about 215 yards receiving and three touchdowns in the first half. No answer for him. And just when Ohio State, sort of thought they had maybe could catch a break. And I don't know if there have been reports on whether Devontae Smith broke his hand or broke his finger in the third quarter last night. But Ohio State, they score a touchdown midway through the third quarter to cut the lead to two touchdowns. Devontae Smith goes out with a hand injury after taking a hit. And it looks like this might be the moment where the Buckeyes can gain some traction. But then they go right down the field and they score anyway with a guy who catches his first touchdown pass in the national championship game. How about that, Ira? Your first touchdown in the national championship game. It just shows how deep Alabama is, a gargantuan offensive line. And I think it's not like this is the first time we saw how good Najee Harris is. But again, it was on display last night. You talk about running through contact, yards after contact, good vision, burst, change of direction, and just a big guy that can also, it's also showing he can catch it out of the backfield. Just too much balance. What are you going to – you got to pick your poison against
Sam,
this team.
Yeah, because they have the best quarterback in America. Well, the guy who had the best season at quarterback or one of playing for them, they have the best running back in America. They have the best receiver. Somebody made a really, really good point. At some point late in the game last night, somebody on social media made a great point and said, if you slept through the game and you just wanted to wake up and you wanted to read the recap or you just wanted to look at the score, and so you looked up and you said, oh, wow, what a great game by Devontae Smith. He led the team. You'd have no idea based on the stats that he played a half.
Right.
I mean, he was unbelievable. And the fact is, the way he played, the way Najee Harris played, I mean, it was just those two guys alone. And then you bring in what, Robinson to back up Harris, and he's untackleable out of the backfield. You mentioned that they have a guy making his first ever catch. Waddle's basically playing on one leg, but he goes in there, and every time he's on the field, he pretty much makes a big play, it seems like. Somebody went through, and I'm sure, Sam, you could find it too very easily, the class of 2017 with Tua and everybody else that's in the class, and how ridiculous that this Alabama team is. It is probably, or potentially, Sam, right, the all-time most decorated offense that we've seen in college football. I mean, this team, now defensively they're not quite, but nobody is. And yesterday was the perfect proof to show you that college football has evolved into – when you're playing the best teams, you pretty much need to score every single time you have the football. Because last time I checked, I don't know if Alabama's punter earned his scholarship last night.
Right. It was impressive, to say the least. I mean, you had to try. Ohio State had a decision to make defensively. Do you try to get big and, you know, slow down their rushing attack? Or... Do you go smaller and try to play nickel and match up with their receivers? And they decided to try to play big, play with those linebackers and maybe the clip of the game was Tough Borland trying to carry Devontae Smith down the seam. And it's like, there's no freaking way. There's no way this is ever going to work. I mean, Desmond described it as he called it a defensive felony. But what are you going to do? I mean, it's not like, look, you know, this is not an example of a poorly conceived defense. This is not it's not evidence of poor planning. It was a sign that they had to make a decision. Are you going to try to match up with them in the run game and not get steamrolled, which they still had success against the run anyway, which is crazy. Or do you, like I said, do you put another defensive back on the football field and just let them plow you? And they said, we're going to try to not get run over in a run game. And they paid dearly for it in the pass game. And I can't say that if they had gone the other way, that it would have been any better. Because if they go the other way, Najee Harris is going to have 300 yards rushing. You just don't have... You know, they didn't have the defense to match up. And no one had the defense to match up with Alabama this year, frankly. It's just, you know, one of those years where the best team is the best team by far. Like, no one's even close. No, as good as Ohio State is, as much talent as they have, no one's even close to what Alabama put on the field this year. That is truly a team that could play with some NFL teams. I'm not saying they're going to go out and beat NFL teams. But could they play with some NFL teams? I think they could play with some NFL teams.
Sam, it's funny. I actually had this exact thought in my head. They're not going to beat an NFL team. And could they hang with an NFL team maybe for a little while? Their defense would get exposed pretty quickly, I think, by the NFL in the long run because of depth. But offensively, if you don't have any injuries, if just the first line guys, right, if Waddle's healthy, if Devontae Smith doesn't break his finger or whatever happened to him in the game, if you have your first line guys – that offense can hang with an NFL defense for a while. They just don't have the depth to do it because your backups are freshmen as opposed to your backups being 28-year-old, you know, veterans, that kind of thing. But that offense, I mean, that's how loaded they are. And that's how many, what is it, like somebody said like 8 first-round draft picks or 7 along that on the offense or something like that. Or maybe it's 8 or 9 first- and second-round picks on the offense, some crazy number like that that's going to happen between this year, next year, something like that. So they're not going to be an NFL team, although I think the Jaguars might want to play that game anyway because then they could, you know, get another win since the first game of the season. But it would be really interesting to see that offense go against an NFL defense for a little while. I think eventually they'd wear down just because you don't have any depth. You don't have enough NFL depth. But, man, it would be really interesting to see. It would be very interesting to see. I just don't think the Alabama defense would hold up long enough against an NFL offense.
Oh, yeah, I don't think any college team is going to beat any NFL team. But like you said, could they play with them? They play with them. Could they not look like could they not look like a peewee team out there playing against grown? Yeah. This is the team that could do it. I mean, with this,
the closest we've seen in a while.
Yeah, this is the team that they were asking the question after the game. Is this the all-time best Alabama squad? And for it's a legit question, a legit debate to have. you know, even in a COVID shortened, COVID influenced season, for some teams, still the healthiest, let's say all the teams in college football are 100%. And Ohio State was shorthanded to a certain extent last night. They don't have enough to hang with them. And you look at the, all of now Alabama's or Nick Saban's six national champions just with national championships just with Alabama. I think it is indeed the case. It's the most talented offense I think that they've had. Maybe they've had more talented defenses over the years, but I think this is without question, in my opinion, the most talented offense that you know he's fielded. When you think about obviously Devontae Smith, you know Jalen Waddle wasn't 100%, like you said, he's an absolute baller. Najee Harris is tremendous. You look at that offensive line though. And Alex Leather is huge.
So which guy do you want at number seven, Sam? You're going to have a pick of the litter. Which of these guys do you want at number seven and will still be there? That was the next thing I thought about as I'm watching the game. I'm like, Devontae Smith's not going to be there at seven. If I'm the Jets, I'm probably taking him at number two. Najee Harris probably not going to be available. He may go number two if I was the Jets. I might look at him too. So of all those guys, who do you look at number seven? Because one of them is going to be available, if not a few of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love their offensive line. I'm a big Alex Leatherwood fan. I haven't looked at the mock drafts to see how things will play out. I mean, look, there's going to be a question about Justin Fields, and we talked about this already, but that's the Justin Fields that we saw the majority of the season. That's the Justin Fields we saw against Northwestern and Indiana. You know, the exception this year, this season was the Justin Fields versus Clemson, where he was just completely locked in. You know, that was on point, on target with his passes. But they did a really, really good job. I mean, one of the best examples, there was a clip in the first half that showed it to a T, where, you know, they got upfield on the edges, stayed in their rush lanes. And it was like a, you know, sort of a read and react kind of pressure on the interior. Like they didn't push hard upfield. It was kind of like a bracket to him. Now he got loose a couple of times, you know, had a few big runs, but he didn't run wild. They did a good job of keeping him in the pocket and hitting him. And I kept saying last night, pressure in his face. And they did that a little early, and he just never really got on track. He was going to have a Clemson-like game for them to be in this game, and he didn't. And you wonder if NFL teams, when it comes to the debate about who's the number two quarterback in this draft, whether they will weigh the Clemson game, you know, more, or whether that will weigh heavier than the Justin Fields we saw in the other big games this season. And the ones, like I said, that stick out, Indiana, Northwestern, and then last night where he was not, you know, he didn't look like, you know, that guy that, wow, man, he's very, very talented. But, you know, a lot of refinement left ahead for him. It is now, at this point, time to kind of, you know, switch gears. We'll talk about this more throughout the morning. But we're going to switch gears and get into some Michigan talk, right? Some Michigan basketball talk as Michigan climbed in the rankings. Michigan State fell out of the rankings. And Michigan's biggest test thus far, though, right ahead, taking on the Wisconsin Badgers. The team that I picked preseason to win the Big Ten championship. Got a chance to talk some Michigan basketball yesterday. We got Juwan Howard. You get the breakdown. So you're thinking of this team that is no longer flying below the radar, of course. That and much more coming up here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.